The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy. It's Monday morning, it's the 9th of September 2019. We are here till 10 o'clock. The text number with you, as always, 51551, and you can email ryan@rte.ie. A little drizzly around the place in Dublin, Ireland today, and hopefully it's a little brighter wherever you might be. We have lots to get through this morning, and in an unexpected development in some ways, it looks like we will be going live to the arrival of Boris Johnson and the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar's opening statements before they get head into a meeting in government buildings a little later on. And Kevin Doyle does a great piece in the Irish Independent today in his take on it. He writes, Monday morning can be challenging at the best of times, but imagine the severe dose of Sunday night fear that Leo Varadkar must have suffered last night. As if you think it's bad enough for any of you going into work this morning. Since becoming Taoiseach, he's had to deal with difficult diplomatic matters with leaders ranging from Donald Trump to Viktor Orban. However, his meeting today with Boris Johnson carries huge risks and few opportunities. And it goes into the detail as to what's expected. The meeting was meant to be in Farmleigh, but turns out that the traffic madness would have just created too much trouble for them all, and he needs to be back in London in the afternoon for another row with Parliament. It's an extraordinarily long day and a busy day for the Prime Minister, and so they've decided to move it to government buildings. So I'm looking at a live feed to that now on the RT News Now TV channel, and Tommy Gorman is standing by there, and we'll talk to Fergal Keane at some point in the event of it all kicking off. And it's just a very, very good piece and on the wisdom or otherwise of Mr. Johnson's the fact that he hasn't gone to the border yet, even though many, many people from all around Europe and America have been. And by all means, he says, roll out the red carpet for our guest, but there can be no skirting around the issues. Being subtle will achieve nothing with a man who said he'd rather be found dead in a ditch than delay Brexit. Perhaps the Taoiseach could begin by reminding Johnson of all the people who were found dead in ditches during the Troubles. And that is a stark warning from Kevin Doyle in the Irish Independent this morning. But we'll get on to that a little later on. At least he is coming, and in the middle of all this, the carry-on in the UK, that's can only be a good development that the two men are talking. So we'll keep an eye on that story. Right. We got a huge response to the Late Late Show on Friday night, and thank you for all of that. And Sinead O'Connor, the clip of Sinead O'Connor singing Nothing Compares to You is currently on 1.5 million views. I don't know what happened, but something special happened. It felt special on the night, and she was very happy, and she sang beautifully, and you just got the sense that we all fell in love with her, again for some, but that it was just lovely to see her where she was and on the show, and it was great. And all our men and women in uniform that showed up with that epic opening of the show, thanks to them all, and to all my friends and colleagues around the place who put it together. But I see Sinead is in the journal.ie are telling us that Sinead O'Connor has announced that she's selling all of her clothes from before she converted to Islam, reverted, as she said on the show, to raise money for Women's Refuge, which I think is lovely. O'Connor made headlines in recent days after returning to music and performing her Nothing Compares to You hit on the Late Late Show on Friday night. If you didn't see it, well worth watching back. Nothing to do with the Late Late Show as such, just watch her singing. It's something else. But she announced on Twitter that she would be selling her clothes to raise money for Bray Women's Refuge from the years before. And she tweeted, this is to announce that there will be soon a sale of all my pre-Islam clothing in aid of Bray Women's Refuge, who do such incredible work. Watch this space for more information. People will be able to bid in an auction of dresses and other clothing worn in the promotion of the album I'm Not Bossy, I'm the Boss. So good on her. And that's a nice thing to do. And I think that she will be in big, big demand now as we head into towards the end of the year and onwards and upwards to 2020. There's Rebecca Henley, as pictured by Ramsay Cardi in the front of the Irish Examiner this morning. She's there with her father, Jerry, 7-month-old niece, Anna O'Reilly, following Galway's victory, well done, over Kilkenny Hardlock, in the Liberty Insurance All-Ireland Senior Camogie Championship Final at Croke Park. It's a happy photograph, and obviously I'm delighted for Galway, which was great. I didn't go to the match, the Ireland-Wales match on Saturday, but I did watch it and then headed in afterwards for a pint, and it was another great win. It was another good win. You can discuss that among yourselves, but I think it put us as number one in the world. Are we the number one rugby team in the world? Which seemed to be almost kind of whispered or not taken as, I would have thought it was worth a lot more love and appreciation and respect than it seemed to get. I mean, you got the All Blacks in Australia and the Springboks and everyone else in between, and we're number one. Anyway, no pressure heading over to Japan, but nevertheless, it will be exciting. It'll make it all the more exciting for the World Cup, so I'm looking forward to seeing all that. But town was a buzz in Dublin on Saturday, and people seemed to be in great form, and it was a good place to be. People stopping to say hello, and there was a lovely kind of sense of kindness about the place, which was great. It was a strange thing that happened, I suppose, in some way. There was a homeless woman sitting outside a shop in Baggot Street, and I decided to have a conversation with her. Not that I had any kind of virtue signalling sense of I'm too great, but I just wanted to see how she was, because it gives you a sense of why are people on the ground like that. And I bent down to chat to her, and we talked for about 20 minutes about who she was and what she was doing. Now, this story isn't necessarily a kind of bail booked situation, in the sense that she told me that she had a troublesome life at home domestically, right? Won't get into detail. Don't want to embarrass her in case she's heard or knows people know her, because you might know her. On the canal in Dublin City, there are tents and people live in the tents. And she's one of the people who lives in the tent. And as I was talking to her, she started telling, almost kind of laughing at her situation. She had this kind of dark sense of humour about it. And she was saying, I'm actually in a new tent. I said, why? She said, a rat gnawed its way through my last one. And it got too cold, so I had to get a new one. I said, okay. I said, why are you laughing? She said, sometimes you have to laugh. You have to laugh. So what else? So tell me about yourself. You seem very, you're articulate. You seem together, whatever. She said, I do a course 2 days a week. I said, why would you do that? She goes, I want to better myself, but I still have to go back to the tent during the night time. Tried to get into a different place. I've been waiting for a place for ages and ages. Don't know all her circumstances. Anyway, the punchline, if that's the right word, which it isn't, of the story is that I said to her at the end, so what are you doing your course in? And she said, with a big grin, you'll never believe this. I said, go on. She said, interior design. I said, oh my God. Well, fair play to you, I thought. Fair play. And as we were chatting, people were putting money in the cup, and she was smiling, saying, stick around a bit longer, this is great. And I'll keep an eye on her story for us, for all of us. But it just had me thinking for the rest of the weekend. You know the famous or the infamous photo of Lee Harvey Oswald getting shot by Jack Ruby, and he's leaning in and his mouth is open and Ruby's gun is pointing at his chest. Remember that shot? Now, think about that photo again and look it up if you have to. But you know the guy beside Lee Harvey Oswald with the white suit and the white hat? Right. Well, he's dead. So that was kind of one of those Irish stories. But no, he died. And the reason I say that is because he was 99 years old and he died last week. And it's just his obituary is in one of the papers today. And my eye was drawn to the photograph because in it, he describes what happened in that moment. And he and another detective handcuffed themselves to Oswald and prepared to take him from the basement of the building to an armoured car outside, which would convey Oswald to the county jail. And there had been threats against Oswald. And this guy, Jim Lavelle, claimed that as they were leaving, he said to Oswald, Lee, if anybody shoots at you, I hope they're as good a shot as you. To which Oswald replied, you're being melodramatic. And as the trio exited the building, Jack Ruby, who owned a local nightclub, stepped forward from the crowd outside, a pistol by his side. And this guy says, I saw him out of the corner of my eye. I jerked back on Oswald to get him behind me. I had my hand through his belt, which I never realised until he said it. Now I looked over the picture. And all I succeeded in doing, I turned him. So instead of dead centre, the bullet hit 4 inches to the left of his navel. And I could see Ruby's fingers flexing on the trigger, trying to fire. They put Oswald in an ambulance, tried to take his pulse, but heard only a sigh and a groan, and he was pronounced dead in hospital. Amazing. But that man, that gentleman, died this last week or two. So Just a little kind of piece of peripheral history, if you like, coming to a close there. Tom Hanks says that the increasing level of cynicism in society is partly what led him to take a role as a lovable children's entertainer. He says cynicism has become the default position for so much of daily structure and daily intercourse. He is so right. And I'm guilty of it myself. I'm not going to sort of pontificate about lack of cynicism. But why are we so cynical, he says? Because it's easy and there's good money to be made. That's what Tom Hanks said. So in fairness then, the Irish Sun newspaper, I did a big interview with them last week for today, have done a thing today called the Good News Edition. And in it, they are trying to accentuate the positive, including with their front page story about four children born in 4 minutes from Lauren Kelly. And then I chatted with Nicola Bard, and that's all in there, just talking about the positives in life and looking to the future and to being happy and trying to de-cynicise in a crazy, crazy world. Okay. Right, we're keeping an eye on what's happening at government buildings. We'll get to that in a few minutes' time. Lots of texts already on 51551, but in the meanwhile, this feels appropriate.